Want to welcome each and every one of you out this morning. You know, we're in a new era, you know, in that we're in a new 40-year period with God. He's doing all kind of new things, and the devil is too. So we have to be on the alert, and we have to be, you know, to hear God's voice first. We have to be on alert to understand what the enemy's doing around about us and what he's trying to do to us. God's trying to do a great mighty works through us, but it's up to you and I whether or not God gets that accomplished. You know, God wants to do many things through us, but can he? Can he? I've been reading some, the reason why I've played some of them songs too, like No Turning Back and Keep Moving, I Am, is because I've been reading where so many people are falling out away from God, because God has not, according to them, done what that they want God to do. So they're leaving the church. Or they're sitting, they just decide, well, I'm not going to complete this assignment, so they're just sitting down. We don't have no option to sit down. Well, Father, I thank you and I praise you for those who came out to sit at your table and to eat fresh manna. I'm asking, Father God, for this teaching that you're having me give this morning, that you really open up their spiritual eyes and their spiritual ears and their spiritual understanding, so they can, first of all, see, hear, and then receive what thus saith the Lord. And I know that your angelic host is walking to and fro among these chairs. And Father God, I'm asking you to meet every need. Meet each and every need, Father. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you know, I was seeking God's face. What am I going to give for Sunday morning? And I think it was Friday night. Larry said, you know, this is a really good article. Everybody needs to hear this. And so I said, let me see it. I said, that's it. That's what I'm supposed to give Sunday morning. So this is what you're going to get this morning. And what it is, it's a testimony of a young man who was once serving the devil. And he's telling what powers and authorities that the enemy has and why he has those powers and authorities. So I'd really like for each one of you to listen up, because this is very important. It really, we already know this stuff. But, you know, when you hear it from an ex person of the devil, and it really just makes it come alive. You hear it and you read it and God speaks to you. But whenever somebody who's been the devil himself comes forth and receives Christ and he tells how this all happens, I don't know, that's just something, it just stirs something deep up inside of you. And it really makes you want to understand that we are in a warfare. And God's been telling us that. Now, this is by John Muldeen from Australia, and he gave this in 2000, year 2000. He said, I would like to share with you part of a testimony of a saved person who once served the devil. When I heard him give his testimony, it so challenged me, I did not want to believe it. I had to fast before the Lord for 10 days, asking him, Lord, is this true? It was at that time the Lord began to teach me the things that take place in the spiritual realm when we pray. And as you listen to what this young preacher says, there's things that he was really ignorant of. And this is why it blew his mind the way it did, all right? This man was born after his parents had dedicated themselves to Lucifer. When he was still in the womb, they performed many rituals to dedicate him to the service of Lucifer. When he was 4 years old, he began to exercise his spiritual power, 4 years old, and his parents began to fear him. They're the ones that dedicated him, and then they were afraid of him at 4 years old. When he was 6 years old, his father brought him to some witches for them to train him. And by the time he was 10 years old, he was doing tremendous exploits for the kingdom of the devil. He was feared by the common witches. He was still a young boy, but he was so terrible in the things he did, he grew to be a young man in his 20s with a lot of blood on his hands. Now, this is an Australian speaking, so this is the way they speak, all right? He killed at will. Listen to that. He had the ability to leave his body through transcendental meditation, and he could levitate. At times, his body would rise off the ground and hang in midair. Sometimes he would go into a trance and leave his body. his body would remain behind while he went out into the world by a practice called astro traveling. He was used by Satan to destroy or divide many churches and to ruin many pastors. You see that? One day he was assigned to destroy a church that was full of prayer. There had been much division in this church and much confusion. He began to work against it, but at that time, the pastor called a fast for the whole church. As the church began to fast, there was much repentance and a lot of reconciliation. The people came together and began to pray for their Lord to work in their midst. They continued interceding and crying out to God to have mercy on them and to intervene in their lives. As the days went by, the man came again and again against the church with demon spirits. Do you see what's going on here? But a word of prophecy came forth telling the Christians to rise up and wage warfare against the powers of darkness that were attacking the church. So one day the man left his body in his room to go astro traveling. He led a powerful force of demonic spirits against the church. Now this is his testimony. His spirit moved through the air over the church and tried to attack it, but there was a covering of light over the church. Suddenly an army of angels attacked them and fought against them in the air. All the demons fled, but he was arrested by the angels. Now see, he had demonic spirits with him, and they were in the air, and suddenly an army of angels started to fight with them, and they won, all right? All the demons fled, but he was arrested by the angels, you know, the person himself. Yes, arrested by the angels. He found himself being held by about six angels. They brought him through the roof right before the church altar. He just appeared there as the people were praying. They were deep in prayer, engaged in spiritual warfare, binding and breaking and casting out. Let's read that again. They brought him through the roof. This was a person. Right before the church altar. He just appeared there as the people were praying. They were deep in prayer, engaged in spiritual warfare, binding and breaking and casting out. The pastor was on the platform leading the prayers and the warfare. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to the pastor. The yoke has been broken and the victim is there before you. Help him through deliverance. See, they all had their eyes closed praying. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to the pastor. The yoke has been broken and the victim is there before you. Help him through the deliverance. In other words, as they were praying and they in this church service, they broke what was going on in the atmosphere. As the pastor opened his eyes, he saw the young man lying there. His body was with him. He was in his body. Remember, he left his body back in his room. The young man said that he doesn't know how his body joined him. He had left it back in his house. But there he was in his body. He didn't know how he had entered it. All he knew was that the angel had carried him through the roof. Now, these things are difficult to believe. The pastor silenced the church and told them what the Lord had spoken to him, and then asked the young man, "Who are you?" The young man was trembling as the demons began coming out of him. Just the anointing in the room. So they prayed for his deliverance, and afterwards he began to share his story. The young man has now come to the Lord and is an evangelist preaching the gospel. He is being used by the Lord mightily in setting other people free through deliverance. One night, I, John Maldine, went to a dinner. The only reason I went was that someone had told me about this young man, and I was very curious to see him and to find out if his story was true. So I attended the dinner, and in the evening, he was given the chance to give his testimony. He spoke about so many things. At times he cried because of the things he had done. As he finished, he made an appeal. There were many pastors in the room. He said, "I appeal to you pastors, please teach your people how to pray." What has God been doing? Why? The people who don't pray can be taken in anything by the devil, and there are ways that the enemy can exploit their lives and their prayers. The enemy knows even how to exploit the prayers of those who don't know how to pray. Teach the people how to use the spiritual armor that God provides. Then he shared how he led expeditions through the air. He would go with other satanic agents, you know, other people, and many demon spirits. It was as if they were working a shift in the same way that you've got to go and work your shift. He had a regular time that he was required to go and wage war in the heavenlies. Isn't that something? He said that in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm, if the land is covered by a blanket of darkness, the blanket is so dense it is like solid rock, and it covers the whole area. The spirits are able to go on top of and below the blanket, and from there influence the events on earth. When the evil spirits and human satanic agents finish their shifts, they go down to earth at the points of covenant, on water or on land, to refresh their spirits. How do they refresh their spirits? By the sacrifices that people give at these altars. They could be sacrifices in open witchcraft, sacrifices in bloodshed of all types, including abortion, warfare, and human and animal sacrifices. They could be sacrifices of sexual immorality, in which people practice sexual perversions, and all kinds of promiscuity. Such acts strengthen these powers. There are many different types of sacrifices. He said that when satanic agents are up in the heavenly realm and Christians begin to pray on earth, the Christians' prayers appear to them in three forms. All prayers appear like smoke that is rising toward heaven. Some prayers appear like smoke that drifts along and vanishes in the air. These prayers come from people who have sin in their lives that they are not willing to deal with. That's why if you're an intercessor, you need to have all sin out of your life, because your prayers aren't accomplishing anything. Their prayers are very weak and they are blown away and disappear in the air. The second type of prayer is also like smoke. It rises upward until it reaches a rock. It cannot break through the rock. Remember, that's the blanket. These prayers usually come from people who try to purify themselves, but who lack faith as they pray, who try to purify themselves, but who lack faith as they pray. They usually ignore the other important aspects that are needed when someone prays. Now, the third type of prayer is like smoke that is filled with fire. As it rises upward, it is so hot that when it reaches the rock begins to melt like wax. It pierces the rock and goes through. Many times as people begin to pray, their prayers look like the first type. But as they continue praying, their prayers change and become like the second type of prayer. And as they continue praying, suddenly their prayers ignite into flames. Their prayers become so powerful that they pierce through the rock. Many times evil agents would notice that prayers were changing and coming very close to becoming fire. Now, what are evil angels, agents? There are people sold out to Satan, all right? Many times evil agents would notice that prayers were changing and coming very close to becoming fire. These agents would then communicate with other spirits on earth and tell them, distract that person from prayer, stop them from praying, pull them out. See this? Many times Christians yield to these distractions. They are pressing through, repenting, and allowing the word to check their spirit. Their faith is growing. Their prayers are becoming more focused. Then the devil notices that their prayers are gaining strength and the distractions begin. Telephones ring, babies cry. Sometimes in the middle of very, very intense prayer, the telephone rings and you think you can go answer it and then come back and continue praying. However, when you return, you go back to the beginning, and that's what the devil wants. He doesn't want you to get to the end of your prayer. That's why in my house, you know, if I'm praying, I don't answer the phone, and you shouldn't either. You shouldn't answer the door or nothing. What you're doing is more important than what anybody else wants with you. Somebody died, well, you know, they're still going to be dead in an hour from then. All right? Now, remember, this is the man who was serving the devil. He was one of those agents, and now he's born again. Other kinds of distractions come your way. They may touch your body, bringing pain somewhere. They may make you hungry, causing you to want to go to the kitchen and prepare something to eat. As long as they can get you out of that place, they have defeated you. All right, I first of all said they may touch your body, bringing pain somewhere. you know, have you ever been praying or even studying the word, and all of a sudden maybe your ear starts hurting? Oh, I need to go do something with my ear. You know what I'm saying? Anything like that. And how many of you have been praying or studying, and all of a sudden you think, a thought comes, I should go get something to eat. Wouldn't a grape taste good right now? You know, that's the enemy. That's that evil agent. All right, then I said, he said, as long as they get you out of that place, they have defeated you. He said that the pastors teach the people to set aside some time. Isn't this God's been doing this with us? Not just for some casual praying. They can do that the rest of the day, once a day. They should have a time when they are focusing wholeheartedly on God without any distraction. Once a day, the man said. You should be in a secret prayer closet. And God's been dealing with us about that for a couple of weeks now. We need to give him that special time. If the people persist in this kind of prayer and allow themselves to be inspired in the Spirit and to keep going, something happens in the Spirit. The fire touches that rock and it melts. In other words, if you don't get any distractions and you just continue to pray. The man said that when the melting begins, it is so hot that no demon spirit can stand it. No human spirit can stand it. They all flee. They all run away. There comes an opening in the spiritual realm. As soon as it appears, all the trouble in prayer stops. You know, once you pierce that rock, that blanket. The person who is praying on the ground feels like their prayer has suddenly become so smooth, so enjoyable, so powerful and intense. I've discovered that at that moment we normally lose all awareness of time and other things. Not that we become disorderly. God takes care of our time, but it is as if you lay down everything and hook up with God. The man said that when the prayers break through, from that moment on, there is no resistance at all. And the person praying can continue as long as he wants. There is no resistance to stop him once you break through. Then he said that after the person finishes praying, the hole remains open. He said that when people rise from their place of prayer and move on, the open hole moves along with them. They are no longer operating under the blanket. They are operating under an open heaven. Are you listening? He said that in that state, the devil cannot do what he wants against them. The presence of the Lord is like a pillar from heaven resting on their lives. They are protected, and there's so much power inside the pillar that as they move around, the presence touches other people as well. It discerns what the enemy has done in other people, and as they talk to people who are standing with them, they too come inside the pillar. As long as they stay inside the pillar, all the bondages placed on them by the enemy weaken, not broken, but weaken. So when people who have experienced this spiritual breakthrough share Jesus Christ with sinners, the sinner's resistance is low. It is very easy to bring them through to salvation. When they pray for the sick or pray about other things, the presence that is with them makes all the difference. The man said that the devil hates such people. He said that in places where prayer regularly breaks through in this way, the presence comes upon that place and does not leave. When people who don't know God enter such a place, all their bondages suddenly weaken. If someone is willing to minister to them with patience and love, they could easily be pulled through to salvation. Not by power nor by might, but by the Spirit of God who is present. But he said that if no one bothers to reach out to them, they merely come into his presence, feel convicted, and begin to debate whether or not to yield. And I was thinking about the young couple came in and God just touched both of them so powerfully, so mightily. And they come to the service and they left and went back into their sin. See, the Spirit of God was here. The Spirit of God moved upon them and their resistance was weakened. And God did a powerful work, but they decided not to stay with God. We did our part. They didn't do theirs. All right. I mean, there's just not just one couple. Many people do that. If they are not pulled through to salvation when they walk away from that place, their bondages become stronger, and the devil tries his best to prevent them from entering such an environment ever again. You see that? As you can imagine, we all sat staring at the man as he told us the things he used to do and see. Then he told us what they would do to those who broke through in prayer. Listen to this, you guys. He said that they marked such people and studied them. They would dig up everything they could find about them so they knew their weaknesses. When someone overcame them in prayer and broke through, they would communicate with other spirits saying, target him with this and this and this. They are his weaknesses. See, I've often told you the enemy knows what button to push, right? And we have to get rid of those buttons. That's your weaknesses. So when the person walks out of his prayer closet, the spirit of prayer is upon him. The presence is with him. His spirits are high, and the joy of the Lord is his strength. However, as he goes, the enemy tries to bring things that can distract him from focusing on the Lord. If his weaknesses is in the area of his temper, the enemy will cause people to do things to make him angry. If he is not sensitive to the Holy Spirit and he allows himself to lose his temper, he takes his eyes off the Lord, he gets angry, he feels furious. Then, after a few minutes, he wants to put it behind him and move forward in the joy of the Lord. However, he doesn't feel joyful anymore. He tries to feel good again, but can't. Why? While he was yielding to the temptation, they were working hard to close the opening above him. Once they have restored the rock, their presence is cut off. The person does not cease being a child of God, but the extra anointing on his life, the presence that worked apart from his own effort, is cut off. Now, this is a man who worked with the devil for years. He knows exactly what's going on. You can get this on the internet. They seek to know his areas of weakness. If his weakness is temptation to commit sexual immorality, the enemy will prepare people or events, something to suddenly arouse his passion to move towards a temptation. And if the man yields to the temptation and opens his mind to receive and entertain his thoughts, when he is through and wants to again move in the anointing, he discovers it is no longer there. Let's read that one again. They seek to know his area of weakness. If his weakness is temptation to commit sexual immorality, the enemy will prepare people or events, something to suddenly arouse his passion to move towards the temptation. And if the man yields to the temptation and opens his mind to receive and entertain his thoughts, see, you have to open your mind. The enemy doesn't do it, you do it. And opens his mind to receive and entertain his thoughts, when he is through and wants to again move in the anointing, he discovers it is no longer there. You might say that's not fair. Just remember what the Bible says. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. When I go through typing this, and when you get through hearing it, every time you pray, you need to put on the armor of God like God's told us to. We normally do not understand the part these weapons play in warfare, but remember what Jesus told us to pray towards the end of the Lord's Prayer. He told us to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Every time after you have a breakthrough in prayer, remember you are still a weak human being. Remember you have not yet been made perfect. And say to the Lord, Lord, I've enjoyed this time of prayer, but as I walk out into the world, lead me not into temptation. Don't allow me to walk into the devil's trap. I know the enemy is setting a trap out there. I don't know what form it is going to take. And I know I am still weak in certain areas. Given the right circumstances, I will yield to temptation. Protect me, Lord. That is a perfect prayer to be praying. You don't have to know it word for word. Just say it, you know. When you see me turning, and this he continues, when you see me turning the corner where the trap has been set, cause me to turn the other way. Intervene, O Lord. Don't let me move in only my own strength and ability. Deliver me from the evil one. You guys are just going to have to quit giving in to temptation. That's just all there is to it. You give in. The devil doesn't force you to do it. You give in because that's the desires of your heart. I don't care what the temptation is. You have to quit giving in to it. God is able to do it. He is able. All you need to say is, thank you, Jesus. That is why the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5:18, thank God in everything, for that is the will of God in Christ for you. Some things are not good, they are painful, but we wonder why God allows them. But if we only knew what he is saving us from, we would thank him. When we have learned to trust the Lord, we thank him in everything. The man said that when prayer breaks through like that, the answer will always come. Now listen to this. This doesn't make quite much sense to me, but this is what he said. He said he did not know of a single case in which prayer broke through and the answer did not come. I mean, it does make sense to me, but you have to really, I had to study it, okay? He said he did not know of a single case in which prayer broke through and the answer did not come. He said that the answer always came, but that in most cases it never reached the person who asked for it. Why? The battle is in the heavenlies. It's because of the battle in the heavenlies. He said that after they succeeded in cutting off the open heaven, you know, these spirits, cutting off the open heaven and restoring the rock, they would watch the person and wait because they knew the person would definitely, the answer would definitely come. Then the man said something that really shook my faith. Do you understand what we just read so far? You want to go back and read it again? Let's go back and read it again. The man said that when prayer breaks through like that, the answer will always come. He said he did not know of a single case in which prayer broke through and the answer did not come. He said that the answer always came, but that in most cases it never reached the person who asked for it. Why? The battle in the heavenlies. He said that, you know, there's a battle going on to keep your prayer from coming to you. He said that after they succeeded in cutting off the open heaven and restoring the rock, they would watch the person and wait because they, remember, they distracted you when you was praying. And while you were in distraction, they closed that open heaven because they knew the answer would definitely come. Then the man said something that really shook my faith. It was because of what he shared next that I fasted for 10 days asking, Lord, is this true? Can you prove it to me? The man then seeing I didn't believe this. So God showed me in scripture that it's true. The man said that every Christian has an angel who serves him. Now, he didn't know this, all right? Now, we know the Bible says that angels are ministering spirits who minister to us. He said that when people pray, the answer comes in the hands of their angel. The angel brings the answer, just like we read in the book of Daniel. Then he said something that was difficult to receive. If the one who prays knows of the spiritual armor and is clothed with it, the answer comes by an angel who is also clothed in full armor. However, if the one who prays doesn't care about being clothed in spiritual armor, their angel comes to them without spiritual armor. When Christians are careless about the kinds of thoughts that enter their minds and do not fight the battle for their minds, their angels come to them without helmets. Whatever spiritual weapon you ignore on earth, your angel does not have it when he serves you. In other words, our spiritual armor is not protecting our physical bodies. It is protecting our spiritual exploits. Now, I looked up spiritual exploits. Spiritual exploits are things God desires and expects of us. Once we become born again, then it also said it is striking or notable feats. Now, you can look in Daniel 11:32 and 1 Corinthians 2:9, and it tells you that the angels fight over your prayer and try to keep it from coming to you. The man said that as the angel was coming, they would watch him to find the areas that were uncovered and then attack those areas. If he didn't have a helmet, they would shoot at his head. If he didn't have a breastplate, they would shoot at his chest. If he didn't have shoes, they would make a fire, causing him to have to walk through fire. Now, I am just repeating what the man said, is what this guy said. Actually, we asked him, can angels feel fire? And you know what his reply was? Remember, this is a spiritual realm. They are spirits dealing with spirits. The battle is intense. That's what he said about it. So it didn't answer my question. When they overpower an angel of God, the first thing they go after is the answer he is carrying, and they get it from him. They then give it to people who are involved in cults or witchcraft, so people might say, I got this because of witchcraft. Remember John 10:10 says, a thief does not come except to steal. See, they steal your answer to your prayer, and to kill and to destroy. Remember what the Bible says in the book of James 1:17. All good things come from God. So if somebody gets pregnant, that's a good thing from God. So where does the devil get the things he gives to his people? By stealing the prayers of the saints. That's what God told me, so I put that in there, all right? Some people who cannot have children go to witch doctors and Satanists and become pregnant. Who gave them the baby? This is what the young man said again. Is Satan a creator? No. He steals from those who don't pray through to the end. Jesus said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And then he said in Luke 18:8, but when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? You know, some woman might be wanting to get pregnant. She prays for years and years. Well, the first time she prayed, the answer left. She was going to get pregnant. But because she didn't get pregnant, and the battle is going on, all right? But because she didn't get pregnant maybe in a year, then she just quit praying. So then those demons took that prayer, that baby, and gave it to somebody in the cult. Are you understanding this? Will he find you? All right, but when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? And then will he find you still waiting, you know, still in faith? Or will you have given up and the enemy stolen what you prayed for, like a new home? Why don't you have your new home? You gave up. Somebody else has your new home. You say, well, look how the devil blesses his own. We're fools because we gave up. And that's why the people out there don't know God get the new homes. Are you understanding this morning? Then the man said that they were not satisfied with just stealing the answer. They were also interested in detaining the angel. They would start fighting against him, and he said that sometimes they would succeed in holding and binding the angel. He said that when that happens, the Christian on earth becomes a victim as well. They can do anything to that Christian because he is left totally without ministry in the spiritual realm. I asked him, do you mean that an angel can be held captive by demonic forces? The man did not know the scriptures at the time he was saying all this. He did not know very many verses. He was just sharing his experience. He said that they could not hold the angel very long because as other Christians prayed elsewhere, reinforcements would come and the angels would go free. However, if the Christian responsible did not pray through, he remained a captive. Then the enemy would send his own angel to them as an angel of light. That is how deception comes, false visions and false prophecies, false leading or guidance in the spirit, and the making of all kinds of wrong. You see that? You're going to have to, whatever you're praying, keep praying through till you get your answer. If not, the angel of light is going to come to you. That is how deception comes. False visions and false prophecies, false leading or guidance in the spirit, and the making of all kinds of wrong decisions. And many times this person is open to all kinds of attacks and bondages. And you can read about this and about how the angels fought in the heavenlies. Daniel 8:16, Daniel 9:21, and Daniel 10:13 and verse 20. That's where you're going to find where the angels fight in heaven. You know, the good and bad angels fight up there and they are detained. The good angels are. He said, I left that dinner extremely troubled. I said, Lord, I don't want to even try to believe this. It takes away all of my confidence, my security. During the 10 days that I sought the Lord did two things. He not only confirmed the things I had heard, he also opened my mind to understand a lot more of what happens in the spiritual realm that the man could not tell us. And two, he led me to see what we are supposed to do as the things are happening so that we are not defeated but can overcome. We need to know and really come to terms with three things. First, how to use the weapons of our warfare. The Bible calls them the armor of God. It is not our armor, it is God's armor. When we use it, we allow God to fight on our behalf. Remember, God told me my people are not using all the weapons that I have available for them, and that's why they're being defeated. Second, understand the relationship between ministering spirits, which are angels, and our spiritual lives, and be sensitive to what is happening in our hearts as a leading regarding what needs to be done in the spiritual realm on our behalf. This is why God said no more religion is spirit calling to spirit, because you're not going to survive if you're not walking in the spirit. You can't have any kind of religion around about you. The enemy will keep you in bondage. Spiritual realm on our behalf. I'm sorry, a leading regarding what needs to be done in the spiritual realm on our behalf. That brings us to the third thing, which is the Holy Spirit. We should not regard the Holy Spirit as our servant. The angels are our servants. We should not regard the Holy Spirit as our servant who is serving us and bringing us things. He does not run back and forth between us and the Father to tell him what we need. That is the angel's job. The Holy Spirit stands by our side, doing what? Guiding us, teaching us, leading us, helping us to pray in the right way. And when these things are happening in the spiritual realm, he lets us know. You know, you need to be walking under that open heaven, and the Holy Spirit will always tell you what's going on. So that you, and he, because he told me the other day, he says, I am foretelling them what's going on. Whether they receive it or not is up to them. You know, he tells before it ever happens, and he'll tell you how to work it out. All right, and when these things are happening in the spirit realm, he lets us know. Sometimes he wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, pray. But you say, I'm too tired. And he says, pray now. Why? He sees what's happening in the spiritual realm. The Holy Spirit knows. Sometimes he says, fast tomorrow. But you say, I'll start on Monday after we have our birthday party on Sunday. But he understands what is happening in the spirit realm. You need to be fasting now. We should learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He guides us in paths of righteousness. The battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. There is no need for any more defeat. We can overcome. Come on. There is enough power to overcome. Jesus has already finished the work. We should not lose. There is enough grace, enough power for victory when we apply all the weapons God has given us. That's not something I made up. That's something somebody experienced. And God is for us and not against us. We need to use the weapons God has given us to defeat the enemy. We need to use those weapons so we can fight him at every avenue in our lives. God has been dealing with his church to get ourselves together, to walk in the Spirit, use our weapons, and to walk in total and complete victory. Now, you all have to understand what this man told you is true. I know I've experienced some of this stuff. I've gone through some of this stuff. I've seen it. Now, I don't astro travel. When I read that, I thought, I don't know if I want to go to heaven at will or not. You know, because all we have is this person say, well, I went to heaven and I go to heaven. We haven't seen that person go there, have we? Now, I'm not saying that's not true. I'm just saying we need to quit wanting that. Because, you know, an angel light could come. An angel light could take you, but not take you to heaven. We need to keep our eyes right upon Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We need to keep ourselves focused on what God's trying to do through us. Because God is leading us in a new way. We're going to do great and mighty exploits for God if we keep our eyes upon Christ. Too many people right now are wanting to keep going back to what their old stuff. Keep going back. Why? What was back there that's you want so bad to go to hell for it? Because you keep going back, one day you're not going to be able to come forward ever again. What God brought you out of, he didn't mean for you to keep going back into. When he brought you out of it, he meant for you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He meant for you to put on that armor every single solitary day and fight that devil that keeps coming to your mind saying, you know you want to look at this. You know you like it. Now, I'm asking you this morning, you need to really think, where do I really want to end up? Do I really want to end up in the devil's camp, or do I want to remain in God's camp? God gave this for a reason. This is a very serious time right now. Satan is at us with everything he has. God told me his little pinions couldn't kill you and take you out, so he sent off hell against you. And he said he's going to try to take you out. You're going to have to be strong. So what about you? This is not just some little tea party you're in. We are in an all-out battle right now. Right now, there's a battle going on in the heavens over this church, and everybody's sitting in it this morning. Who's going to win the battle? That's totally up to you who wins this battle. I don't want to hear no excuses. There is no excuses why you can't win. Because God's given us all power and all authority. And the reason why we don't have breakthroughs in this church, because we don't have a decent prayer time. Tuesday nights is not working. There's just not enough anointing in here Tuesday nights. And you'll probably see me in here Tuesday nights from now on. Because you're still in sin, your mind's not right, and God needs holiness in the house of God. You know, when I had church in my home, we started church in my den, and that's where we stayed. We moved out a little bit into the other part of the kitchen, and you know what? We honored that place. We didn't go in there and do anything at all, period. We had to walk through to go into the back room, do our laundry, but other than that, we kept that place holy. We kept music in there. That was God's sanctuary. That was God's ark, as far as I was concerned. And his anointing was totally, completely, always in that room. My kids honored it. Everybody walked through there, honored it. And I didn't allow any loud carrying on in there. I didn't allow playing in there. I didn't allow anything in there. We were just in there for church service because that was God's temple. How do you treat your home? Is your home God's temple? And how do you treat this temple? Is this temple really God's? Are you really working on holiness and purity of heart? Are you really not going back to your old temptations? Are you staying where God's placed you? He brought you out of the pigsty. Why would you want to go back to the pigsty? Come on. Gabriel said to me, because the devil really tries to get him to go his direction. He said, I'm going to stay with you forever, because with you I'm protected, because you know the right way to go. And see, your kids should look at you and think that. I want to live with you forever because with you I'm safe and I'm sound, and the enemy can't have me. And, you know, he comes with me some really dark distraction, and I just, nope, 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 don't go there. And no compromise whatsoever. It doesn't matter how young they are. If they're bringing dark things to you, they're not too young to hear the truth, right? The enemy has targeted them. He's trying to take them out. Parents, it's up to you where your children end up at. And just like that little child that was dedicated to the father in the mother's, to the devil in the mother's womb. That child started using its giftings at 4 years old. I've seen that in young kids. That devil worked through a 4, 5, 6, 7 year old. Believe me, he will. And it really makes me mad when it's done in my own home. That the devil thinks he can come in my home. And I have to tell them, I get right in their face, look, devil, you are not going to bring your junk in my home. You're not going to make me sick. You're not going to cause confusion in my home. You just aren't going to do it. So what are you doing about it? Are you taking control? Or are you letting the devil run rampant in your home? You have to stop and think about this. You know, and I had a wedding in my home, and now we have two demons. They're joined together fighting against me now. You know, and there's strength in numbers. So now I'm fighting that also. But I'm winning. The Satan's not going to take over my home. If they don't want God, then that's on them. Then they're going to have to pay the price. But they're not going to steal my home. Are you understanding? It doesn't matter who it is. Don't let them steal your home. Don't let them come in and wreak havoc in your home. That is your home. And I'm going to tell you, once the devil gets a foothold in your home, it's hell getting him out. Because you're fighting constantly, 24/7, fighting, 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 fighting. Because you have all these people and all these demons. When you're fighting one person's demons, the other demons are getting, they're studying. They study me, right? They know my weaknesses. And so then the other one say, uh-oh, she's got one of our guys down. We have to regroup, and we have to really get her distracted, get her away from that person. And that's how it works. That's really how it works. So where are you at? Where are you at? When you guys go on the streets, you're meeting devils are on those streets. They're in those people. And you have to have on your full armor. You know, you have to know that who you are in Christ Jesus. You have to walk under that open heaven so that the enemy can't take you out. Because we're going to go back on the, you guys are going to go back on the streets again. Where we're back to going to the streets again in this dispensation that God has. And you're back to opening up your homes and bringing people into your homes. And I don't mean to live, but to minister to them. Remember, have Bible studies. And you're going to have to know where the enemy's camp is at. And you're going to have your home sanctified so the enemy can't come in there and cause confusion while you're trying to teach the Bible. Are you listening to this? Guys, this is very, very serious stuff. And this is why God had me teach it to you this morning. I want you to take this teaching into your heart. I hope you took it in your heart. And I want you not to forget it, not let the enemy steal it from you. But I want you to think about it now all week. Just think about where, and what I mean by that is, start looking at your life. Where did the devil come have an open door? How come this happened? And how come that happened? You have to check these things out, or you're not going to know what you're fighting. What are you fighting for? Maybe you're not fighting for nothing. Maybe you're sailing through life and life's fine. I would wonder where I was at in my walk with God. I really would. When I just went to church, I didn't have any problems. And I didn't do anything wrong either. I didn't have any problems. The minute I got born again, my life has been a pure hell. Because all I'm doing is fighting the devil. Because he knows I'm going to tear down his kingdom. Well, not going to. I've been tearing down his kingdom. And he's in for a whole lot of warfare real soon with this church. Think about it. She must be doing something wrong. But when I was born again, I hadn't been sick for years and years and years. I got him down the flu like you wouldn't believe. The pastor come to my house, said, "What sin are you in?" I said, "What?" I just woke up with the flu. You have to be sinning. And see, this is the mindset of Christians. You have to be sinning or you wouldn't be attacked. No, you're attacked because you're a child of God. And the enemy's trying to stop you. Amen. Why is all this bad stuff happening to me? I'm living right. It's because the enemy's trying to kill you. He wants you spiritually dead. So, you know, it's... Now, if you're not living right, then you probably aren't even being attacked. I'm serious. You're probably not being attacked. So, but anyhow, you got it? Now, what are you going to do with your life? There's many, many souls out there lost and dying, and God needs you. God needs you. Why not just give up the past? If you don't, it's going to give you up. It's going to steal you. And you're going to be spiritually dead. Do you really want that? After you've sat under such a powerful anointing of God, and God has done so many wonderful things to you, why would you want to go back to the dead darkness? To me, it's worth a fight. Is it worth a fight to you? I mean, it really is. I just get excited when I get into a fight. I really do. It makes me so mad at the devil. You know, I just like to cut his head off. But I like a good fight. You know, in the spirit realm. I don't like fighting in the natural. But in the spirit realm, I like a good fight because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And I know I can whoop that devil. Amen. What is going on in your life? And what are you going to do about it? You have power and authority over that devil. Some of you men sitting here, you think you're so macho. The enemy comes and attacks you, and right away you're like a little wimp. You start whining. And some of you women, you think you're all that and then some. The devil comes, attacks you right away. Boy, you're down and you... Oh. We've got to stop that. We have to stop that. We have to be strong for God. We have to quit allowing the angel light to come and bring deception into our lives. Father God, I thank you this morning for your teaching. I thank you that you showed it to Brother Larry and he showed it to me. I thank you, Father God, that you are on time with everything that you do. I thank you, Father God, right now, I just plead the blood of Jesus over this seed that was planted in each and every heart this morning, that the enemy can't steal it the minute they get up and walk out the door. And Father God, I know that I thank you that you know all things that's going on in our life. And you've given us the Holy Spirit to lead, God, and direct us. You've given us the angelic army, host of heaven, Father God, to fight our battles for us. Now, Father God, let us be good warriors for you. Let us carry on this battle, the part that we have to carry on. And let us not grow weary. And Father God, strengthen us. Right now this morning, strengthen us in your might and in your power, that we can go forth and fight and win. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' holy mighty name. There are some of you in here, God said it. The enemy really thinks he has you. And he's standing back laughing at you. And if you're one of those that you know that the enemy keeps trying to pull you back into the pigsty, you don't go, but he keeps trying to pull you back into the pigsty. He's laughing at you because he knows one day he'll get you because you're not strong enough in the Lord. And God wants you to come up this morning because he wants to strengthen you with his power and with his might so that when the enemy comes trying to tempt you to go backwards, you won't go backwards, but you'll destroy the enemy that's coming after you. So the altar's open for that purpose this morning. If you want to be strengthened in the power and of might of God, so that when if and when the enemy does attack, he has no foothold whatsoever. None. That you are the victorious one, not the enemy.